Good morning, Hope College. Welcome in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, where all are welcome and included here. Welcome back from winter break. This past weekend, maybe some of you were resting, relaxing, traveling, or even maybe scurrying to get ahead on some homework assignments. While all of you were doing that, I had the privilege of babysitting a two-year-old. And when I showed up to babysit, she was watching a Sesame Street video. This was a mini episode of Grover helping these penguins move a glacier so that the penguins could finish their dance routine. And when this three-minute episode was finished, she proceeded to click the replay button right away, and we watched it maybe seven or eight times. Over and over again, we would watch this episode of Grover and the penguins and the glacier. And at one point, in between her speedy clicking, I asked her, "What's your favorite part about this story?" She looked up at me with a blank stare. "What story?" And I looked back at her with a blank stare. "The story we've been watching with Grover and the penguins." Once again, she looked at me with eyes filled with confusion. "I don't know that story. Can you tell it to me?" I share that with you this morning because a lot of us go through our time at Hope, our churches, or in our studying of Scripture, hearing God's stories over and over again, but not actually letting them sink in to our heart, mind, and soul. So in some ways, we are kind of like this two-year-old. So for this morning, I'd like to tell you a story. For some, it might be the first time, and for others, it might be the 100th. But this morning, I'd like to invite you to hear the story fresh as it comes to us from Matthew 25. Hear this from the book that we love. "For it as if a master going on a journey summoned their slaves and entrusted their property to them. To one they gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to their ability. Then the master went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. The master said, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. The master said, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of the master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were harsh, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and in my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from them and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And as for this worthless slave, throw them into the utter darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' This is the word of the Lord." Friends, this is a tough passage to hear, and maybe even one where you're thinking, yeah, I'd be good not letting this one sink in. But it is our text for this morning, 16 verses in one chapter, in one book, in one section, in the whole of Scripture that is crying out to us today. This passage is called the Parable of the Talents. Talents were a monetary unit that was worth about 20 years worth of wages for a person's labor. And for those of you who might not know what a parable is a story that is used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. Parables were often used in Jesus' teaching as a way of showing us something grander or greater in the whole of God's story, a way in which Jesus could cast a vision of what the kingdom of God looks like. Which leads me to wonder, what exactly are we meant to learn from this text? What is our moral or spiritual lesson found in this parable? To answer that question, I'd like to hone in on one particular section from the text, borrowing from Eugene Peterson's The Message. And The Message is one of the various translations of the Bible that intentionally uses accessible language so that a broader range of people might understand and hear what these texts or parables are trying to say to us. Verses 24 to 25 read, "The servant given 1,000, that is in reference to the talents, said, 'Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you. So I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent.'" One of my friends and I, over Christmas break, went to the Art Institute in downtown Chicago, and while her and I were walking towards the museum, she was sharing with me about some of her financial troubles, the jobs she had lost, the resumes that she had sent out that were never attended to, the savings accounts that had been liquidated, and the desperate phone calls made to family. When we had gotten to the museum, her and I were in line to check our coats and bags, and when asked to pay the dollar fee for checking coats, she looked at me in panic, eyes shifting around, and she just said, "I can't do that. I need to save all of my money. I can't, I need to pay rent." And I tried to remind her that her parents had given her money for the day and she didn't need to worry about the dollar for the coat check. And to which she snapped back, "You don't understand. I can't afford any more loss. This is all that I have. I can't ask my parents for any more money. I am disappointing them." Fear can be paralyzing. Even when we have been given gifts, fear that is riddled with shame has the power to cripple us as we desperately hold on to our one talent, leaving us feeling trapped and isolated in the lies that we tell ourselves or how we perceive our reality. When we let fear control us, it is our inclination and our temptation to turn inward. We go into these places of utter darkness. I call it the spiral of fear, that moment when you begin going down the dark pits within your soul and you find yourself weeping out of despair or grinding and gnashing your teeth in deep rage. The dark pits that trap us within ourselves leave our fists clenched, holding on to any source of security. And like my friend, the servant's money was well kept. Every last cent was safe and sound. But also like my friend, the servant's soul was not well. Not only were they both afraid, but the way in which they viewed the one who gave them the gifts was skewed. My friend began to see her family with an enemy image, like the servant began to see the master as this harsh and unforgiving person. I wonder if the master wasn't necessarily angry at the servant for being frugal or for not being enough, but the master's anger came from a well of sadness in seeing the servant not living to the full extent that the master knew the servant could be living, even to the extent that it was criminal for the servant to not see themselves as the master does. Maybe the master's anger was rooted in a deep love and desire for the servant not to live in fear, but to live freely, to live a life that is abundant, whole, and open. Maybe this anger, rooted in a vision for love and wholeness, even prompted our master, our loving and merciful God, to send his Son to our utter darkness, to which he rose again in victory, so that we may experience and live in the freedom of shalom. Beloved, this is good news, that God doesn't desire us to live in fear, to live lives with clenched fists, holding on to our assumptions, false security, and isolation that turns us inward, but desires us to live lives that are in freedom and in community. What you might have noticed in the text is that the first and second servant aren't afraid of disappointing their master, which prompts them to be with people, to share, learn, and to flourish. In what ways can you let go of the ways you believe that you are disappointing God? Or what would it look like to let go of telling yourself that you are a disappointment? Because God is calling you, desiring you, longing for you to see yourself the way God sees you. And God sees you as the trustworthy servant, treasured and very good. You might feel like you are in utter darkness right now. Friends, cling onto this truth. God is with you in your utter darkness, holding you and embracing you, even when you feel unlovable or are living in fear of being a disappointment. God sees you and is with you. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, friends.